On Wednesday in the Bible study, going through Revelations, and we were talking about the one church, Pergamum, if I could pronounce it right, where paganism and other teachings were sort of infiltrating the church. They were going wrong in allowing these things to percolate into the church. And that's not the subject today, but why we were there, I just said that's, haven't you noticed that's like that in our society as well, how things have just slowly creep in and you get used to it and then it becomes the norm. And I remember saying, for example, like the Sabbath, when I first came to Sasselburg and that, it was quite strict here in the Free State about the Sabbath. At one time you couldn't even fish on a Sunday. You're not allowed to go fishing. But it was funny, on the Transvaal side of the river, you could go fishing, but not on the Free State side. It was the same with, stupid case, but like insurance as well. On the Transvaal side, if you had a thatch roof, you had to have a lightning conductor. If you're on the Free State side, you didn't need a lightning conductor. That much distance between North Transvaal and Free State. And the Sabbath was the same. They had their own rules and laws and that. And then then you couldn't go shopping on a Saturday. You couldn't do anything on the Sabbath. You couldn't do anything on a Sunday. There was nothing. Everything was closed. And that's the way it was. And then slowly, the shops opened. But you couldn't buy alcohol. And then slowly you can buy alcohol. And then, it just grows and grows and grows. And I was just using an example of how we slowly get used to things. And then I started thinking at home about, am I actually correct in this? I mean, for example, like the Sabbath is the holy day. We should actually keep it holy and separate and not get used to this idea. So maybe I shouldn't go shopping on a Sunday. Because I do. I go shopping on a Sunday. And am I guilty then of breaking the laws, the commandments or whatever, So I started digging into what is our relationship as a Christian to the laws of the Old Testament, to the Old Covenant, if you want to call it that, the laws that were given out. How do they affect us as Christians? Because it's been a problem in the church, even back in the early days. Paul wrote, if you go and read Galatians, almost all of Galatians is about the adherence, the people pushing to stick to the old covenant, to stick to the old laws, getting very legalistic about it. And then if you go to Acts chapter 15, most of that is about people trying to bring in the old laws and rules into the church life. And in Hebrews, again, a lot of Hebrews is about old covenant, new covenant, and that, and the old laws and the new laws. And one of the verses that I was reading somewhere that there's a society in America called the Hebrew Society or something like that. And they use this verse, which is Matthew 5:17-18, where Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." So they use that verse, and a lot of people use that sort of verse to say we have to stick to the old commandments. This is what they're teaching. I'm not saying it's right. This is what they're teaching. It's based on that verse. We should be obeying all the laws of the Old Testament and that. But they're very selective about which laws. So when they say law, they're thinking more like 10 commandments. You need to keep the 10 commandments. But there's a lot of laws in the Old Testament. Hundreds and hundreds of laws. I think it's over 600 laws in the Old Testament. And if that is your thinking and teaching, that we have to keep all the laws based on that verse, we need to keep to the law. Nothing is cancelled. Then we shouldn't be eating pork, shellfish. We shouldn't be mixing cotton and wool in our clothing. There's a whole bunch of restrictions in there. It's all about we should be sacrificing still. That's the law. So we're told in Romans that if you break any part of the law is an entirety. You have to obey everything. You can't just select this one and that one, which is what they tend to do. You've got to obey all of them. And they're ridiculous nowadays in terms of the laws for us. And like I say, it's been a problem all through the ages. What happens is it becomes very legalistic. Now legalistic means that, so what the Hebrew society will teach is grace of God brings you salvation, that they acknowledge. You know, it's Jesus Christ who, because of his death on the cross, we have salvation, we're free from our sins, we're right before God. But post your acceptance of Jesus Christ, now you have to start keeping all these commandments to keep your salvation. So if you start drifting away from the teaching of the Old Testament laws and that, then you are at risk of losing your salvation. That is legalism. Legalism says you have to do certain things to keep your salvation. Okay? Now we don't believe that, but that's the teaching, and we need to be aware of it. Because I think we can sometimes creep that thinking into our mindset as well. That if I don't follow certain rules, if I don't behave in a certain way, I'm at risk of losing my salvation. We become legalistic to ourselves, maybe not even imposing on other people. We start performance is what we do and how we do is more important than relying on the grace of Jesus Christ, on the grace of God to get our salvation. It's grace. There's nothing to do that you can earn it. But this creeps in. It creeps into my thinking sometimes. It's like, you know, I have to do certain things. And I'm doing it out of performance. I'm doing it out of duty, not out of who I am in Christ. So how does the Old Testament then apply? Who were these laws meant for in the beginning? Well, we read in Ephesians chapter 2. Therefore remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. So it's very clear. And that's just Ephesians summarizing from some of the Old Testament scriptures in that. The covenant, the old covenant, was between God and his chosen people, the Israelites. It wasn't between God and the Gentiles, for a start. It was only with the Israelites. And the covenant was there, the law that came with the covenant was there for the Israelites to be aware that they will never attain God's holiness. It was there to show them that they can never be what God wants them to be. The law is there as they call it a guardian. It's to show them that they can't be what God wants them to be. They can never be as holy and pure as God is. There was only one person who did that, and that was Christ. He's the only person who was able to keep all the law and not transgress anything, and that's why his death was the perfect sacrifice. So as Gentiles, which we are, Christian Gentiles, but Gentiles, the covenant was never actually really applicable to us anyway. It was applicable to the Israelites. Secondly, if you go through a lot of the Old Testament verses, like Jeremiah 31, Ezekiel 36, Hebrews chapter 8, You'll see that God never intended the old covenant to be in place for all eternity. It was never to be in place for all time. They all point to an end point when the old covenant finished and the new covenant started. And we know that that is Christ, and they pointed towards Christ. Okay, so Christ was the finalization of this old covenant and all its rules and regulations and laws. So it's applicable to the Israelites, and it's applicable for a certain period of time. And that time was when Christ died on the cross for us. That was the end of the old covenant. And there's enough Bible verses to say that. If we read Romans 10 verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. And Galatians 3 verses 24, 25. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. And then Ephesians 2, 15, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances. So if those verses are all saying it's ended and it's now by faith in Christ, how do we go back and read that Matthew chapter 5, verses 17? It says, do not think that I've come to abolish the law. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Nothing will disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. That was Jesus' own words. So what is the emphasis there? The emphasis there is until everything is accomplished. I am here to fulfill them. And that's what Christ did. And that's what the other verses are saying. That has been accomplished. It has been fulfilled. The old law, the old covenant is no longer binding on us. It's not what we're going to be measured against. We're going to be measured against, do we accept Christ as our Savior? It's grace. There is no more this judgment against the old law. But we still have the Bible. We still have all the teaching. The nine of the Ten Commandments are re-emphasized in the New Testament at various points. And they're told we have to adhere to them. Okay? The only one that isn't, funny enough, is the Sabbath. The Sabbath, there's a dispensation about the Sabbath, that we don't have to keep the Sabbath in the way that the old commandment, the Ten Commandments specify. But they're established, and Paul puts a lot of other instructions. Remember that the laws were basically instructions. You have to do this, you have to do that. It's instructions, it's law. And Paul also gives a lot of instructions through the New Testament as to how we should live, how we should behave, how we should, you know, so we have law there. But it's different. In the old covenant, the law was there to show that we are sinners. Now we live under the law of Christ. And the law of Christ is simple. Love the Lord with all your heart. Love one another as you love yourself. And there's variations of that through the New Testament. But those are the two. Love the Lord with all your heart. Love your neighbor. That's the law of Christ. That's the new covenant law. It's the only law that we have. But that covers all the other laws. I mean, if you love your neighbor, you're not going to have adultery with their wife or husband, whichever. It's not going to commit adultery. You're not going to steal their animals. You're not going to murder them. It's all covered by love. Okay. We're also taught that all the scriptures are useful to our all scripture in Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So, how do the old laws apply to us? That's between you and the Holy Spirit. It's not there now to show you that you fall short of God, because we're already right with Christ. If you're a born-again believer, you're already right through Christ. You're already right with God. You are sinless and blameless before Him. But what the scriptures tell us, teach us, is as we read the scriptures with the Holy Spirit within us, the Holy Spirit will point out, this is how you should be living. This is how you should be doing something. And it's going to be very individual for each person. Okay? But it doesn't mean, if I'm breaking one of the Ten Commandments, the Holy Spirit will very quickly point out to me that's wrong. Because if you're doing that, you're not loving your neighbor, or you're not loving God, or you're putting things before God, or so it'll all come back to the new law. But it's not a condemnation. It's like I said last week, it's a conviction. It's a conviction that you're doing wrong. There's not a condemnation. There's not a sentencing for doing the wrong thing. We're told if one of your brothers is sinning, to talk to him, pray for him with love, to bring them back into the fold. It's not a condemnation of that person, you know, that because they're sinners, go away, get out. Yes, there are cases, persistent sin, where you have to say, sorry, you need to leave especially if it's false teaching, that you need to leave and that sort of thing. But it's with love that you do. It's the love for the community. So it's a bit of a case of the old law does apply, but it doesn't apply. It applies, but only as the Holy Spirit guides you and as you love the Lord, you apply what He puts into your heart, okay? The Bible is a definite reference point. It tells us how we should live our lives, but it's not a legalistic thing. It's not legalistic like you have to do this, otherwise you can't go to heaven. It's not. That is all gone, all right? So it's a balance of grace against the instruction book. The instruction book is telling us how we should live. It's not telling us what we have to do in order to get salvation. So that means all the old instructions in the Old Testament, which have to do with what we eat, Paul says it's irrelevant. All the rules about the laws and instructions about sacrifice and that, obviously not applicable because we have Jesus Christ who was the perfect final sacrifice. We don't do that. But then other of the laws, for example, keeping the Sabbath. New Testament is clear about that we don't have to keep the Sabbath holy like the commandment says. Jesus was doing healing on the Sabbath, which was totally, in the eyes of the Pharisees, totally wrong. So we can still do things with love on the Sabbath. But if I was to go away and pray about the Sabbath, because it is bugging me a little bit that I'm not putting the Sabbath aside for the Lord, maybe. I'm doing other things. Whereas the Lord is saying, keep the Sabbath for the Lord. So it's up to me now to go away and pray about it and see where the Holy Spirit's leading me on that. And it may be that I will not go shopping on a Sunday. I will not, I will only do things which are God-focused on the Sabbath. But that's between me and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is convicting me of that. It's not something that I now say is a law for the church. We will all do this and that's the way it is, because otherwise you're not a Christian. That attitude is gone. It's me. I will talk to the Holy Spirit about it. And it will prompt me and I'll do that. But it doesn't mean that I disobey the Ten Commandments, because it's part of the Ten Commandments reflect who God is. And I want to be more Christ-like. I want to be more God-like. So I should be, following those same teachings, the same rulings and that. It's a balance between grace and get away from legalism. Don't think it's going to affect your salvation. You should do these things out of love for the Lord. And that's the whole focus. Love for God, love for your neighbor. That's the only two commandments that we have. And everything comes out of that. And it's the Holy Spirit who will convict you and guide you and direct you through life. See, the Pharisees were very good at taking one of the laws or commandments and then they have many other books besides the Bible where they have legal findings, procedures. I don't know what they call the things. But from that, they'll say, well, this is what the Bible says on a certain aspect. And then they say, but now we need, what do you call it, legal counseling to describe how does it apply in your life. And from that, they'll say, well, remember the roofs, like the houses in Israel are flat roofed. And in summer, they would go and sleep on the roof because it's cooler, because it's too hot inside the house to sleep on the roof. Then during the night, people could fall off the roof and die. So now you've murdered somebody. So then they would start setting up a lot of other laws about how high the parapet must be, because if it's less than that, somebody could fall off. And if it's higher, you know, they set up a whole bunch of regulations based on how they interpret the laws in the Old Testament. But it was all done with a point of legalism. It wasn't done with love in their hearts. It's like Jesus pointed out to the Pharisees when he says, how many of you have committed adultery? He says, but it's not the act. If you've actually thought about lustfully after a woman, you have committed adultery. It's the heart, it's the inside that counts, not the action is a result of what you're thinking. So even before it gets there, it's the thinking already is wrong. And that's where the Holy Spirit is within us. And we'll direct our thinking, we'll direct our thoughts, and it convict you immediately and say, hey, that's wrong. And you're going to know it's wrong because you've read the scriptures. And you'll know from the scriptures with all the old laws and the commandments and the teachings in the New Testament, you will know what God sees as acceptable and not acceptable. And then the Holy Spirit will convict you on that. If you don't read your Bible, you'll never know. So we need to read it and you need to keep that balance. But at no point does it become legalistic that you will lose your salvation because you're continually doing this or that or the other. Okay. So allow the Holy Spirit to guide you, direct you, to convict you, and then respond to it. And don't get hung up about all the laws in the Old Testament. Because there are a lot of them that are not relevant anymore to us. They never were relevant because we're Gentiles anyway. But they're just not relevant. Just let the Holy Spirit guide you into which laws are showing the goodness of God to you and how you should be living your life. Amen. Let me just close off. Thanks. Yes, Father, I think a lot of us just like rules and regulations so that we can say and see how we are performing in our Christian lives. And Father, the Bible is full of many laws and regulations, and we can try and keep all of them so that we can be that good Christian, that performing Christian. And Father God, it's not about performance. We know that, Father. We know that it's your Holy Spirit that guides us and convicts us. It's being in tune with the Holy Spirit and letting Him guide us and allowing Him to point out where we are, not reflecting who you are. Because that's our mission here on earth, Father, is to reflect you, to be your ambassadors. And I just ask, Father, that we get away from the legalism, get away from looking at the law and that, and just know how your Holy Spirit is going to guide us and teach us and show us where we need to get right and to be more like you. Thank you, Father. Amen.